From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. The Belltown Hellcat finally got him. He was a huge puma, I guess. It was a gigantic cougar. What was it? I heard they had a trank, whatever.
You've had first-hand experience with this monster.
I have. It was a gigantic cat roaming all through Belltown and coming. That was a sound effect I didn't want right there, but that's okay. Laura.
How's your ears?
Laura, I don't know if you remember, but I had a little bit of a heart condition earlier.
Earlier this week.
That's true. And I forgot about that so quickly.
It just startled me to such a point where now I am having to slow down actively because.
Well, you'll sleep easier tonight. Your heart issues will be rendered eased.
Okay.
By the apprehension of the Belltown Hellcat.
What happened, Spike? Break it down.
So this 20-year-old gentleman who's in social media, would you call him an influencer or just a social media star? He has literally hundreds of thousands of followers. He's made a ton of money by taking his revved up.
A cat made money?
And he had no thumbs to count it with. It was incredible. This kid, a 20-year-old young man, would race through the streets, film these runs through downtown Seattle, Belltown, your neighborhood, East Lake Avenue.
Yeah, he would go down East Lake.
And he would post these on social media, and he made a ton of money. He paid for this very expensive car through the money he made on social media. But there also are laws against what he was doing. Not just driving recklessly, but the noise it created.
Right. So this young man, I don't really feel like using his name because he's already in for... I think he's going to be shamed to death. And on top of all that, what he wants is the name brand recognition, right? He wants people
Absolutely.
To pay attention to him. But he was driving a Dodge Charger Hellcat SRT. Now, I've been looking into that. That's a custom car. They made very few of them.
Right.
And it's a very expensive car. You're looking over six figures for that car.
It's one of the fastest production cars.
Mm-hmm.
That when Detroit brought back the muscle cars from the 70s,
yeah.
They recreated them in modern iterations with modern technology. And this thing is a beast. This thing can race. And it's made for the. It's legal on the streets, but not the way this kid was using it.
Right. So he says that he doesn't plan to stop driving his car. He said the car is loud, whether I'm going 10 miles an hour or 200. He said it's a muscle car. It's going to be loud regardless. So I've read about this on Reddit for a number of months.
Mm-hmm.
And being that I live in Eastlake, about once a week, I would hear somebody driving past the Fred Hutch campus.
Yeah.
And it is loud. I mean, it is startlingly loud and almost to the point of. You think that there's like Vin Diesel is going to come out of nowhere and say, hey, I live my life a quarter mile at a time, man. Yeah. Take a swig off of a Corona, biceps glistening in the sunlight. I'm Dom Toretto. I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Did he ever do this by your home in the wee small hours of the morning?
Yeah, right in front of my building. Oh,
but,
yeah.
But
yeah,
like
yeah.
2, 3 in the morning? Like
yeah, right around there. Right around there. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that most people would say, well, this is a nuisance. But I would say you got a 20-year-old kid. Right. And he says to himself, I'm not very book smart. I'm not very talented. I can't sing. I can't dance. Maybe not necessarily athletically inclined.
Yeah.
What can I do? What can I do for attention? Because we live in the attention economy.
True. True.
It used to be you used to have a talent. Right. Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon and all that jazz. Right.
You know how many hours Judy Garland went through dance and singing
right,
classes
exactly,
and
exactly.
acting and voice? They would build stars with skills.
And now all you need to do is have a cell phone and an Instagram account and an ugly car and you can make yourself a ton of money on this. Laura, you got some audio cuts from this young man. What is he saying to the kids on his Instagram account?
Y'all, it be like that at 2 a.m. in the morning, bro. Be dead for them, man. It be easy to see that you fed them. I didn't want a whole nother level. Greatly only f***ed you over because you let him f***ing stand against didn't know any better. Oh, that man didn't show any effort. Do all I can just to show he's special.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I'll be honest with you guys, all I hear what he's saying is, I got a bad mom and a bad dad. That's all I hear what he's saying.
That sucks.
Right. So I think that I understand that some people are like, this is crazy. He's got to get off the street. My thought about it is much more meta in the sense of this is the kind of youth that we are creating. It's no longer, you know, Grease Lightning, ba 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 ba, go Grease Lightning, Grease Lightning, go Grease Lightning. It's no longer fun and games. It's no longer Sandy. It's no longer any of that. Now what we have is people who are driving 125 miles an hour, badly rapping to Juice WRLD while making
Bryson Tiller. Technically,
who is it? Technically,
Bryson Tiller.
Should have been Juice WRLD if he was really
cool.
Song
too.
So that's what. And so I think that what this says is about what is our relationship to the attention economy, specifically here in Seattle, right? Look at the way that this is happening. Whether it's the Kia boys, mm-hmm. there's a headline about the Kia boys about how they executed this massive crime spree over that was it last night or two nights ago.
Yeah.
So what is it that's going on with the youth? And I'll tell you what it is. Who are our role models for kids right now, contemporarily? For your average, because when I was a kid, the coolest guys on the planet were Tom DeLonge, Mark Hoppus, Travis Barker, Blink 182.
Okay.
I was wearing the Dickie shorts. I had the Hurley t-shirt. They were the coolest guys on the planet. And what did they do? They played music. They played. The only reason I wanted to play guitar is because I thought it was cool, right?
Yeah.
Because I thought that that's what those guys did. They sat around all day in a garage and they created stuff with their minds. And I thought that that was so cool. Now, what kind of role models do kids have? It's not really artists anymore, is what I'm saying.
Because right now, that takes time and dedication.
Right,
you got to build skills.
The role model or the thing to aspire to is money. It's things. It's prestige. It's clout. And that's how you end up with the mental illness of a guy choosing to drive 125 miles in a, what, like he was driving 117 in a 25 mile per hour zone. I mean, come on. That's how you get that. Is we don't have a society that's built around kind of wholesomeness anymore. We have a society that's built around greed and how much can you get? And I'm going to get mine before you get yours. That's what we have.
I thought you were going a totally different direction with this. I really was. I thought you were going to say that this kid was using the very limited skill sets available to him to build him a nice six-figure income. I mean, because you're right. He doesn't have guitar skills. He's clearly not a rapper.
What? I thought he did a great job.
Did you think so?
I'm
no expert on the genre.
Bright career ahead of him is what I think.
Yeah, kids see this fast-tracked success, and he paid for that car. I'm jealous. He paid for that car through his social media, you know, posts.
How are you jealous? Why are you jealous of him?
I can't make six figures through social media posts.
No, you have to sit around all day in an air-conditioned room to make six figures, Spike. That's what you got to do.
Well, it takes more time. Well, I guess, I don't know. I like your point about how we're focused on the wrong attention-seeking skills
exactly.
that these kids have. And this kid's going to kill somebody zooting through the cities at 100 miles
likely.
An hour.
Likely. Speaking of, by the way, King County's plan to close the youth detention center is met with fierce backlash. So we talked about this yesterday because somebody was nice enough to text in 253, and they said, can you guys please talk about Dow Constantine's absolutely horrible idea to decriminalize the juvenile justice system in Seattle? Hello, every potential Kia boy just decided that there is no reason not to rob, steal, and commit felonies now. Getting rid of juvenile jail and saying it's racist is garbage. Jail has to be an option for those kids that cannot seem to get it right. Look around King County. Decriminalization is absolutely ruining our great city and state. Idiots, says 253. Idiots, they proclaim at the end of that. And my thought about this in terms of King County's plan to get rid of it, it pretty much goes as follows. The way that we do juvenile justice in heavy quotation marks contemporarily is the way that we do adult justice. We just put juvenile in front of it, right?
True.
Just because something's on the kid menu at Denny's.
There's still chicken fingers. There's just less of them.
Right.
Yes. I've learned the hard way. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you talk about getting rid of it, I think that this is what you have to do is you have to actually have a locked care facility for mm-hmm. kids who commit these offenses. But the list of reasons why kids go to juvenile detention centers goes as follows. Runaways, truancies, right?
Yep.
Multiple absences. This is insane. If you have a juvenile detention center, what you need to have is it's only for kids who've committed violent crime.
Yep. Perfect.
And on top of all that, though, when you have a delinquent child, that is that child's way of expressing trauma, abuse, whatever it is. So when you place the onus on the kid and you say, well, they can't seem to get it right, I guarantee you, if I go down to that juvenile detention center right now and I ask how many of those kids have been physically abused, mm-hmm. molested, verbally abused, emotionally abused, I'm going to get 9 out of 10, maybe 10 out of 10 across the board. So when you put the burden on the kids and then you say Dow Constantine is an idiot for trying to not take heavily abused and mentally ill children and put them into a cage. Like, the way that we think about prison in the United States is objectively backwards. We put you in a cage and we treat you like an animal, and there you're going to find Jesus, and then you're going to come out all right.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anywhere anymore.
It might happen to some people. Doesn't happen very often. More often than not, these kids, I mean, you can go and you can look up the stats on this. You can go look up the 2020 study that was done by the DOJ on kids that end up in the juvenile detention systems. You're looking at severe sexual trauma, severe emotional trauma. These kids come out with PTSD. So when we do this thing, we're like, oh, we got to clean up our streets by harming children. I'm totally 100% in line with Dow Constantine on this because I've read the data. If you haven't read the data and you don't care about children, then you say, yeah, put them in a jail cell, put them in a cage and hope for the best, which is a system that has worked. Hold on, let me check my watch. Oh, never.
Never.
Never, not once has that ever worked.
Minute of up to date there, yeah.
But if you want to talk about something that's more in line with like a school, fine. Do that, right? But not this kind of thing.
You put a kid who's offended because he's had a horrible experience at home in with a bunch of criminals. You come out with a hardened criminal. You come out with a more dangerous kid. Most times these kids defend themselves by learning the skill sets of violence and whatever other mechanisms they can to protect themselves from the predators in these juvenile detention centers. You still have to have a locked facility where violent youth offenders can be kept, the city can be kept safe by not having them around. But you can't put goldfish in a piranha tank at the end of the day think you're going to have goldfish. They're all going to be gone.
Did you ever hear about Charlie Manson's long and storied history in juvenile detention?
I had never heard of that. I had no idea this is what the man had gone through.
I'll try to keep it as PG as I possibly can, but there's a story about that was written in the book about his life in which he's sent to an incarceration center for being a runaway. He's 9. Okay. And in there, he gets viciously assaulted by both the guards that are there and also the other kids that are there. He goes in and out of the system a couple of times. By the time he's 14, he's back into it. And then this time around, he's the kid who's assaulting the younger kids,
sure,
right?
That's what he learned.
So this is the thing, is that kids adapt to whatever circumstance you put them in. That's why I'm in favor of closing all these detention centers, because they are objectively garbage. What do you guys want to know about Washington's law requiring LGBTQ+ history in public schools? The gay agenda. I won't stand for it, Laura. Why are you laughing? We've got so many. The gay agenda is now coming for your kids. They're coming for your kids, Spike. They're coming for my non-existent kids. It's
a gay agenda.
A gay agenda. Thank you, Diane Duthweiler. The gays are taking over everything. The books are all going to be rainbows and whatnot. We're going to be calling each other they, thems. I'm going to be up to my elbows in they, thems by the end of the month. I won't stand for it.
Okay. Moving on. Now, buddy, come on. I know you're being facetious.
I'm not being facetious. I'm being totally serious. The gays are everywhere now. I can't go anywhere without... I don't know. You could be gay. That guy could be gay. I don't even know who's gay.
Because I have the right to be gay.
I don't even know who's gay or not anymore.
Keep talking like that. It's going to be inevitable.
We used to know who the gay guy was. It was Paul Lynde, right? It was, you know, what's his name? Liberace.
Liberace was gay.
We used to know who the gay guy was, right?
Yeah, but it didn't... Yeah, I'm trying to keep up with
you. We don't have true American heroes anymore, like Brock Hudson. You know what I'm talking about? We don't have true American heroes anymore. People like Freddie Mercury who wouldn't mess around with that kind of stuff.
Did you know that King County, Washington, where we are broadcasting from today, was named after the only gay vice president in American history?
I had no idea.
That's right. They changed King County's moniker to be named after Martin Luther King a few years back in recognition of the work Martin Luther King did, and it's very well deserved. But originally, William R. King served as vice president of the United States under, I think, Pierce. And the King County was really named for him.
And he was gay?
He was gay. He was in a thing with Buchanan. Not the broadcaster or the politician.
I can't stand this gay agenda that we have around.
Learn contributions made by gay members of society in America in this class. They learn about indigenous contributions, the enslaved contributions to our society. Marginalized segments of society have, like it or not, have made contributions. And now, thanks to the governor's pen, it's going to be taught in Washington schools.
Do you ever hear about this social contagion argument that people like to use about gay people or trans people? Do you ever hear about this?
No.
So there's this argument that people use. It was started by Anita Bryant back in the 1970s.
I'm familiar. The orange juice lady.
She did love her orange juice, sure, but she did hate gays. She really despised them. And so she started this idea basically out of her weird little local church that the only way that gay people could make more gay people is by abusing young children, was the only way that that could happen. The most contemporary example of this is there was a book that was written that's called Irreversible Damage. And that book was written, it's a lot of transphobes point to this book and they say, we know based on this book how these people are socially conditioned into being gay or trans or whatever. But what they don't realize about that book is that book was written by a journalist who went to a forum of parents who were estranged from their trans children. And then they agreed to talk to this person. So there's not a single study in it. There's no real data in it. It's just a bunch of shock stories that are in it. And so now what we see is people who use that term social contagion, even though there's no evidence to back it up. But because it sounds so good and it makes sense, it's easier to use that than it is just to say, okay, so some people developmentally have amygdalas that are this size and the developmental blah, 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 right?
There's some science involved and that takes time
to
learn.
Well, here's the problem when you talk about being gay or being trans. There's a lot of science behind it. There's like a tremendous, it's about a century's worth of research behind it. But there is an army of commentators out there who are, on a daily basis, a nonstop deluge, trying to convince a very large swath of America that being gay is a choice and being trans is a choice. And so then what they do is that anytime there's a detransitioner, they go, aha, we were right the whole time, which makes perfect sense because if one person doesn't like their hip replacement, we need to get rid of all hip replacements, right?
True.
So
true that.
What ends up happening is that when something like this comes through and you have an LGBTQ plus month that is now, or excuse me, it's going to be required in public schools, people's reaction to it is built up. There's so much pent up rage behind it all that they won't even bother to read what's in the curriculum.
No.
They're just mad because it's the gay agenda.
And they're scared. Because like you said, the social contagion factor has been pumped down their throats
and
into their ears.
You guys
ears.
Remember when John and I had that debate about trans people? You guys remember that? John didn't cite a single study. Now, I love John Curley, don't get me wrong, but John didn't cite a single study. So I sent John, I sent him a text with all the studies that I referenced. I have yet to ask him if he's read any of it.
Of course he has. Come on.
And I also sent him a video of a Stanford professor who's a neurologist who's talking about the amygdala sizes between a cis person and a trans person and how they're different. Right. I don't know if he's watched it or not. But my point with that is saying is that when there is scientific literature that's that accessible that you can Google it and text it to somebody, if you're ignorant on the issue, it's your own fault at that point in time.
Yeah,
right?
We don't mean ignorant in a pejorative sense. Ignorance is a state of uninformation.
I mean it 100% in a pejorative sense.
I was ignorant. I've got a trans child.
Yeah.
I was ignorant until you gave me some information that's helped.
What information did I give you?
Those studies you referenced that John didn't bother reading.
The gay agenda.
Yeah. You're channeling. This is great.
All right. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Billy's on. Oh, no.
I thought the votes were in. Did we win?
Okay. So Billy's on. Brian's been begging me to dump Billy. He says you got to get rid of Billy. So we're going to leave it up to the audience every time Billy is on, whether or not we cut him from the show. There's a Biden fundraiser with Obama and Clinton nets a record high of $25 million. We'll find out if Billy is scared about Donald Trump getting reelected or not, because somebody's got more money than the other person.
A lot more.
Generally, when that happens, that's the person who wins the election. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this. Yes, a man so dangerous and so annoying that my own program director said to me last week, you have to get rid of this guy. Please fire him. Mr. Billy Sunshine here to talk about who's raising more money, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. How are you, Mr. Sunshine? Are you well?
I'm doing just fine.
Okay, are we talking to AI, Billy? There was like a 3-second pause, and I'm doing just fine.
Here's the thing. You don't pay me enough to really give you my all. I mean, think about it.
I pay you exactly what you're worth, Billy. I pay you exactly what you're worth, and now you're wasting my time. If you want Billy fired, you can text us at 888-973-5476. We're going to do this until eventually we get more votes to fire Billy. So, Billy, Biden's fundraiser with Obama and Clinton, that's a record high of $25 million, according to the Biden campaign. Now, the reason I bring this up is because the Trump campaign is having some financial issues. It looks like the Biden campaign is just breaking records on a regular basis. What do you make of this?
Not for long.
Okay.
Well, here's the deal. First of all, Trump's got next week, is going to have supposedly a $33 million raise in one night in Palm Beach. So the fact is that there's a lot for politics. The good news, of course, is that all the money that Trump gets goes really for his legal bills.
Right.
None of it's going to end up for his campaign. And the real good news is none of it's going to end up falling through to the congressional candidate. Trump is destroying the Republican Party for us. Thank you.
Well, I'm curious about, I don't know, I really know anybody who's a registered member of the GOP, but I'd be curious to know how they feel about the majority of their money and their finances that they're giving to, that are going towards the RNC, thinking that it's going to be going towards a bunch of candidates is actually just primarily going to one candidate in order for him to win the election.
Polling I've shown shows that most people who donate are told that there's clear indication this is going to go to the Save America Super PAC. And then in order to the RNC after that. So they're aware. And they're still donating. Like Billy said, they're donating in very small numbers until next week when their mega rich come out and their superstars show up down at Palm Beach or Palm Springs, whatever, Palm Sunday, wherever, rather have it down in Florida next weekend. So Trump's going to make some money, but to Billy's point, to pay lawyers, he's spending $90,000 a day now, the former president, on the various legal entanglements he's in.
So there has been a lot of talk about how much money Trump is actually spending on all these cases. You've got 92 felony cases that are against him. He's got three different sets of lawyers who are working on these different cases.
Simultaneously, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about it.
He's in court today.
Yeah, there's an unbelievable amount of money that's going in and going out.
In January alone, he spent $5.7 million in court. This month, in February, it was $6.5 million. It's going up every month.
So what do you make of that, Billy? I mean, do you buy into the claims that this is the Biden DOJ attempting to sandbag Donald Trump and take away all of his money so that he can't run an effective campaign? Because that's a conspiracy that's being floating around, that it's death by 1,000 cuts, or at least 92 felonies, right?
Well, you know, the Biden campaign can take advantage of the fact that they're running against a criminal, a guy who is
alleged.
Thank you, Spike.
No alleged. I'm not a court. I can tell you the truth without having a jury.
Well,
he's
Billy,
a criminal.
What
he
makes,
has been.
Right, but what makes you say that, though, Billy? Based on the preponderance of evidence, Judge Sunshine, why do you deter that Trump is guilty?
Well, for example, a guy named Michael Cohen went to jail.
Okay.
Because he helped Trump commit a crime.
So if
Michael Cohen committed the crime, the guy who told them to commit the crime, the guy for whom he committed the crime, must have committed a crime. Yes? What do you think?
I don't know.
That's the New York case where jury selection starts next month.
I don't know, Billy, because if someone comes to me and says, what's a good way to rob a bank? And I said, well, if I wanted to rob a bank, I'd do A, B, C, and D. And then that person goes, okay, great, thanks. And then they leave, and then they rob the bank.
What a horrible analogy. No. If the guy works for you and robs the bank for you
and brings you
the money for the bank, you are involved. Yeah.
Okay.
You're the king of bad analogies. Yeah.
Look what he's fighting against, Billy. You're a brutal component. Go ahead.
No, he's not. But what I'm trying to do, Billy, is not so much continue to make bad analogies, but as much as try to flesh out the opposing position, because there's a lot of people out there who think that Donald Trump consistently is put in legal predicaments that other people are not put in, largely because he is who he is, right? So you have people who are saying that the judgment of $452 million was punitive in nature and done intentionally so to try to humiliate him and drain him of his resources.
You can't have that judgment if he doesn't say my 10,000 square foot apartment is 33,000 square foot. That's the crime. In every case, Donald Trump committed a crime. You can't blame the Justice Department for finally getting around to it. A little late, I might add.
So why do you think
the one thing he's right about is the timing is bad.
So
I prefer, like Donald might have preferred, for this to happen earlier. Oh, wait. Donald Trump is the guy who is hiring all the people that he had to pardon to run again. Paul Manafort. Seriously?
Steve Bannon.
Is that what people are doing with the money?
Roger Stone.
Yeah, thank you.
All those people. Yeah. Dinesh D'Souza. Yeah. All those people.
Yeah.
But Billy, why do you think that there are so many Americans out there who think that Donald Trump is being unfairly targeted by the justice system?
Oh, because they don't really follow. They're the uninformed who just sort of listen to Trump. They're siloed. They're only hearing from Fox News and from Trump. They don't know the truth. These people are unengaged.
Well, I wouldn't say they're uninformed or unengaged. I'd say they're misinformed.
I would say when that they're misinformed.
There you go.
When
you've
I
got,
would say that they don't know what they're talking about. Okay,
well, Billy, I say misinformed
because I've been told. When I see Trump people try to make an argument on behalf of Donald Trump, most of the time it's rigged against him. Okay, mm-hmm. How? It's Biden DOJ. Yeah. Okay, in what way did they do it?
Yeah.
Because they weaponized it. Okay, tell me how. Because it's Biden's DOJ. You know what I mean? I have yet to see a good argument from anybody as to why this should not happen. Not a single one from anybody.
You know, Trump doesn't make the phone call and say, I need 11,000 votes, then there is no Georgia. If Trump, again, this is Donald Trump with everything all his life, finally things catching up to him. We know that's what's going on. And so does he, by the way.
Well, we got a headline that we didn't get to yesterday, though, about how the documents case is probably going to be pushed back past the election.
Past the election date, yes.
It's down in Florida. Way too much there. But thank you for your expert analysis, Mr. Sunshine. Laura, are we firing Billy today? Yes or no?
By a
singular vote. I'm coming back whether you vote to fire me or not.
are we
firing? I do an honest tally, Billy, and by one vote, yeah. You survived today.
No!
And in all caps, someone wrote, Billy is the voice of reason.
No.
Whoa. That's not true.
Jeez.
We also got Let Him Talk More.
That one vote was a mail-in vote, and I want to check the signature. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
Right. Are you texting us?
This is a rigged election, and I won't stand for it. Thank you, Mr. Sunshine. We appreciate it. Jeez, I just
want in the street.
Get off my show. I just wanted to fire Billy so bad today. So I can appease Brian, so Brian understands that I am trying to fire him, but I'm a man of the people.
You'll get your chance.
Okay,
you'll get your chance. The people will have their way.
But not when it comes to shooting owls, because apparently there's a group out there that doesn't want us to shoot owls. And on top of all of that, the sheriff's office asked the legality of hunting Sasquatch in Stevens County. Taxpayer dollars at work when we get back right after this. Apparently, Spike doesn't realize that you can also intro the show, Spike.
Sorry, buddy.
You can say something if I'm in the middle of something.
You can't kill. Well, maybe you can.
This is what Spike does, is that he turns on his microphone and then he looks at me and I don't have my headphones on and he's going,
welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show, everybody.
Jack, you're going to do something here, right?
Sorry, pal.
Am I the only radio broadcaster in the room right now, buddy?
Not at all, my friend. I apologize. I know you're going through a lot this week.
No, I'm just reading. I didn't realize that we were back. I'm reading the story about the Sasquatch hunter, and all of a sudden I look over at Laura, and Laura says, oh, we're back on. I go, oh, I have to put my headphones on. I look over at Spike, who's sitting there, headphones on, microphone on, looking at me like an apprehensive child.
A pleasant little smile on his face.
I'm ready, Bob.
Where are we going, Chief?
Hey, where are we going?
We're going on an adventure.
Exactly. So thanks for that, Spike.
We're going east. East and north, Jack. To Pendere County. Where the Bigfoot run free. That's where we're going.
So a Sasquatch hunter asks the legality of hunting a Sasquatch in Stevens County. So this is a huge waste of everybody's time. And it's gone a little mini viral because it, also now we have gradations of viral. What does mini viral mean, Laura? Can you
mini viral?
Yeah.
I think that's Jason Rance's vernacular.
Has he coined that one?
Is that his vernacular? Because yeah. It's
mini
trash.
Mini viral means less than 700 likes on Facebook.
Okay, because that's
in this viral? Particular instance.
Okay, but that's not even mini viral. That's not even viral. That's I got a little scratch in the back of my throat. I think I might be getting sick. That's not. There is no virality
it's
involved
a tickle,
with this, right?
Not a viral.
Exactly. Yeah. This is like the equivalent of my friend who walks around with tea that has hyacinth in it or whatever, and she's like, "I'm taking this so that I don't get sick." That's the equivalent of this. The virality of this story. It's not really a story. Some troll called the sheriff's department and said, hey, can I shoot? Is it legal in Stevens County to shoot Sasquatch?
I want to make sure I'm not breaking the law, he says. It's a conscientious hunter.
Hey, is it legal for me to shoot the Easter Bunny? Gee whiz.
Only in self-defense for the Easter Bunny.
Is it legal for me to shoot Santa Claus? Is it legal for me? I mean, come on here. Like,
Florida is.
The thing about Bigfoot people is they're so convinced that Bigfoot is real, and then for whatever reason, the evidence they produce is basically nothing. I don't think people realize that if you just study basic primatology, I'm talking about basic baseline primatology, the idea that there is a group of hominids out in the Cascades somewhere or out in the woods somewhere, out in that it is literally impossible. It is literally impossible. Now, Spike is going to come back with a counter argument, but before he does, what Spike is going to try to counter is 4 years of anthropologic and primatological research that is in my brain, and Spike is going to try and fail at the same time to try to come back with a counter argument. So please, Spike, take it away, my friend.
Here comes Spike with a bad take.
Yes.
Spike's going to
remember, Spike, you're dealing with someone who studied gibbons. So if you want to talk about...
Here comes Spike.
You want to start with the roaming ranges of orangutans? We can talk about... Or do you want to start with chimpanzees, maybe? We go all over. You want to talk about Siamangs, maybe? Talk about Siamangs, my friend. Nothing better than talking about Siamangs.
Please. I was just going to ask for a show of hands who studied primatology in the room, because it's just you. You think that a study of primatology is a common thing. It is not.
Exactly,
We are a simple people out here, Jack. A simple people who need dreams.
Okay.
We need these dreams of Bigfoot, of Sasquatch, of something beyond ourselves. The world's greatest hide-and-seek champion.
This is Spike pivoting. Spike pivoting because he realized he doesn't have a good counter
argument. I wasn't going to say there's a Bigfoot.
That's the most unbelievable tone I've ever heard in my life. I wasn't gonna say there was a Bigfoot. Everybody knows when you're lying, your voice goes up. Just you, but me as well.
I didn't promote a Bigfoot pizza sponsored Go Find Bigfoot weekend radio show I was on.
But of course you did, my friend. So this is what I'm saying.
Happen.
When the people who believe in Bigfoot don't actually like Bigfoot.
We're just chasing a dream, buddy. Come on.
It's not okay, Spike. How is this a good thing to live in a lie? You tell me.
Who's it hurt?
The Bigfoot lie?
It's a victimless crime. That's what I'm saying.
Do you have no talking points on this, Spike?
I don't believe in Bigfoot. I'm not telling you I believe in Bigfoot. I'm not sure why you assumed I was going to take the, hey, I've seen it, man. I saw the video. Remember this?
Do you think
guy walking sideways?
Do you think if there was a Bigfoot, you should be able to shoot it on site?
Hell no!
Why not?
If spotted owls are protected, surely Bigfoot enjoys that status.
I don't know. Technically, Bigfoots are so close to hominid. They're so close to human beings. You would imagine that the castle doctrine would kick in at effect somewhere around there.
Again,
right?
Only in Florida.
But I'm just saying that if I saw a Bigfoot, what if it was charging me like a bear?
Oh, then self-defense. You can take that man down.
Okay. Yeah. So, but in any other circumstance, I'm not allowed to shoot a...
Live and let live.
Okay. So the equivalent of the weight of the conversation we just had is basically nothing, right? There is no use in talking about Bigfoot. Right there is. I have been to the Bigfoot Museum in Felton. I have stood in front of a man who has a PhD in primatology who runs that museum.
Cool.
And he has talked about his research into Bigfoot, which is to surmise it in a single word is trash. It's garbage.
Let's get
and
him
he's
on.
And he's wasted his life convincing people that somehow Bigfoot is a thing when all you have to do is study any other large primate to understand that that's not only physically impossible in terms of the amount of calories that they would need to take in on a daily basis, but also just in the idea of there is no fur, no prints, no nothing.
Right. There are prints. There are plaster prints.
They're always fake, Spike. They're always fake. Every single time.
How do you know?
They're always fake.
Okay, I think you're missing the real story.
Because
here,
if you look at the weight distribution when the foot goes down, Laura, like every time they put the plaster cast down, it never rolls. It's always flat.
Oh, right.
You want to know why? Because they're idiots. Because they don't study primatology. Because if you study primatology, you would understand that all hominids, when we walk, we do what? We roll with our feet.
Sure,
we roll
us forward
with the feet. But instead, everybody's walking around like little kids stomping in a puddle.
Stomp,
apparently,
that's
how Bigfoot walks. Stomping around in a puddle with feet that are just, you know, doesn't care, just doing whatever what I want to do, dancing in the rain. Gee, Spike, it makes me mad talking about Bigfoot. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Bob Ferguson takes a play out of Bill Clinton's playbook. I hope it's the right play. I hope it's not the other kind of play, because that would be bad, right?
Reaching in's a two-shot foul, Bob.
That would be really bad, Bob. You mean lying? That's bad, right?
Bad play.
Lying to the American people? Potential RNC staffers must believe the 2020 election was stolen if they want to be there. I don't believe this for a second. Oh, wait. It's in the material that they gave everybody. And also, a judge recommends that John Eastman be disbarred in California. I'll tell you why I don't think this is a good idea when we get back right after this.